optimal health. Are you living with purpose? Are you enjoying your life? We realize each person can make a difference, and our mission is to empower your awareness. The choices that you make in every moment shape your life, and we encourage you to realize that you have your own answers and to always listen to your own truth. We invite you to stay aware. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Aware Show. Hi, this is Lisa Garr. And getting my glasses out so I can see. We are dishing up transformation today, folks. I love this. This is what we do. This is what we do here on the Aware Show. And I'm so happy and you can hear the joy in my voice. Joining me in studio is one of my mentors, honestly. I have read Sark's books for I don't even know how long. I have a nap blanket that from her words. Sark is not only an international author, but somebody who has been such a brave pioneer with her artistic abilities of creating art in books with words. So it's all the same thing. They're really actually books, but they're so beautiful and so truthful and real and authentic and bring out just so much fun in when you read it as a reader. It's beautiful. Her books are serious journeys. She's got about 16 titles in print, over 2 million books sold. Sark, S-A-R-K, is joining me today. Welcome. Welcome.
And Lisa, what does L-I-S-A stand for?
Good question.
Loving, intuitive, succulent, awesome.
Wow. That was fast. I love it. You see how much fun we're going to have today? I'm looking forward to this. Well, hi.
Hi, Lisa.
Welcome.
I love being here.
I love you here. My goodness. You're usually residing up in rainy Northern California, right?
I'm in San Francisco. Yes. I love it.
Yeah. It's beautiful up there, isn't it?
Yes. I feel like when I moved there, I said that it felt like someone took a picture of my heart and drew a city around it and named it San Francisco.
I love the weather. It's always windy and it does rain a lot, but I love the rain.
Yeah.
So it's beautiful
I do
up
too.
There. Yeah. Okay. So Sark is here today to be talk about, first of all, you have so many things coming up. And I want to tell you, the listeners, a little bit about the history of Sark and your journey, because you're still on it, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
Tell me, first of all, how the name Sark became about.
This came from one of my favorite, I call them paper mentors. These are people who mentor us through the pages of their books. So the author Henry Miller.
As you are to me. Very cool. Uh-huh.
Henry Miller was one of my paper mentors, and I read everything he wrote, and especially what I consider his avatar material, Wisdom of the Heart, Stand Still Like the Hummingbird. And I didn't know it, but this was in the 80s. He had died, and he came into my dream. And appeared in my dream and said, your name will be Sark and your artwork will be famous before your writing. And I thought, that's a dumb name. I don't want to be Sark. And I wrote this dream down in my journal and put it aside. Well, he appeared 2 weeks later in another dream and said, your name will be Susan Ariel Rainbow Kennedy. And I thought, oh, I like Ariel Rainbow. I'm going to have that added to my name legally. And then I went to court and was doodling on a piece of paper and realized it spelled Sark.
Interesting. Now, your name, your birth name was Susan Kennedy,
mm-hmm.
and Ariel Rainbow came in there.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever looked into that, what that means, Ariel Rainbow?
Well, the numerology is fascinating.
Is it?
Yes. It was all about, because really, Sark spirit, I call it the Sark spirit, is really in everyone, and I channel it, channels through me. Like, I hear the messages that comes through me, and I basically write down what it says. So I didn't used to talk about that, by the way, because some people can't hang with the channeling.
Yeah, I didn't actually know that.
Yeah, I don't talk about it very much.
No.
But I'm out with it now. I'm coming out.
I love it. Well, this
I'm coming
is
out on the Lisa Garr
perfect
show
to come out on because it's, I mean, we've spoken to James Van Praagh.
my friend.
Michael Tamora, people who channel, you know, lost loved ones.
Yes.
And
that's somehow acceptable, by the way.
Well,
that's known
yes.
as an acceptable form of channeling.
Is it really?
Yes.
Well, I've seen it. I've been in the rooms where they bring in.
It totally. But what I'm saying is it's more controversial to channel just, you know, entities that no one knows who they are.
Except if you're Esther Hicks.
Exactly. Exactly.
You channel Abraham and it's totally fine.
Yes.
Nobody
but even
asks.
Them, but even them, they had to go through a whole period.
A long time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I know. Now to this point, they're barely even doing interviews anymore because they're so busy. It's
oh, I know.
Incredible.
I love them.
Yeah. Inspirational. So, I mean, back to the idea of channeling, who and what have you been – what is the guide? Did they come in terms of a name or is it they identify themselves?
Well, it's really SARC. I mean, it's a group of non-physical entities. I, like Abraham, I started around the same time. I just chose to embody SARC. I mean, if I had it to do over again, I wouldn't have – but I think the embodied SARC really helped me because I think
you
I needed
–
yeah, and I think it helped repair some of the broken and wounded places in me until I got strong enough to be on my own. And so now I'm sort of giving SARC back to the world.
Your story still sends tears to my eyes. I mean, you're so courageous with what you have been able to create and to accomplish in your life. And to what you've overcome is so beautiful. Looking at you now, I see the innocent little child that you were.
I know. Thank you, Lisa.
I do.
Yeah, well, let's tell people. I grew up in Minneapolis, Minnesota in a wonderful family, and I had a beloved older brother who was my best friend, and he taught me how to hunt for snapping turtles and go in the creek, and he was 4 years older and he was my best friend. And then seemingly overnight, he became a monster and started physically and sexually and emotionally abusing me. And that went on for a period of 7 years. And we found out years later that he was molested by the next door neighbor, who had in turn molested all the boys in the neighborhood. So, but I didn't understand any of that, of course, and my parents didn't either, and they actually took us to therapy, which was pretty brave in the 60s in Minnesota. And my dad was a traveling salesman without much money, and they didn't even believe in therapy, and nobody else went to therapy.
And is that how it all came out?
No, it actually got worse because we unfortunately got the therapist made a very bad decision. And allowed me to sit on his lap and then told me to wait outside and said to my parents, this is what I heard through the door. You have a very seductive little girl and anything that's happened is her fault in this family. Mm. And that directly led to a suicide attempt in my mid-30s.
Absolutely. Yeah. You speak to so many women who either have been through that journey in their lives and forgotten or closed it off. Even you speaking those words on this type of a platform, on this radio show, it ignites people's memories. So you are holding the space for the women who have been through this.
And the men.
And the men. Yes, absolutely. And the men who have gone through this. And you have, by watching your journey and your journaling, really, is what your books are about, you have come through on the other end of this to speak about it.
Oh, well, not only that, but I mean, I've forgiven everyone involved. I've transformed it. I've moved on.
How?
A lot of therapy, a lot of self-healing, and a lot of transformation, which we can talk about some of the specific things I did. But one of the great mentors of mine was the poet Maya Angelou, who wrote the book I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. And I thought, wow, you could be abused and be that strong like her. And I went to the public library in Minneapolis and sat on the little metal folding chair and just stared at her and then went up. And that was the first time I ever told anyone. I said, I think my brother molested me. I was 16 years old. And she reached out and took both of my hands. She put both of her hands over one of my hands. And she looked at me and she said, you are all right. You are all right.
Oh.
And she infused me with this knowledge that I was all right.
You remember that?
Oh,
wow.
It's in my body.
I got chills with you just saying that.
Yeah. And then she endorsed two of my books and we were on a national show together and I became, you know, she became someone that I knew and known to this day.
You had to have though, when you realized that, gone through a crisis in your life, when you realized that moment of when you remembered he molested you, how did you go through that?
I honestly was very self-destructive as many survivors are. I became alcohol and drugs. I was just trying to get out.
Right.
And that continued from, you know, 14, let's say, until 35 when I attempted suicide. And luckily was unsuccessful because none of the books would be here.
Including you.
Well, right. Yeah. And this part, and I do want to share because I know there's I know there are people that this will help too. And this part is funny, so feel free to laugh you and feel free to laugh anyone that's listening. But I didn't know that in order to kill yourself in an oven, you had to blow out the pilot light. So I just put my head in the oven and I got really hot and I started smelling like pizza. And then I thought, am I dead? Is this what it's like?
I've gone to pizza heaven.
Yeah. And then I called the suicide prevention line and that was a pivotal moment because the woman said, oh, did you really want to die or did you just want the pain to end? And I had had 2 weeks of flashbacks to the incest, not eating or sleeping. So I really just wanted to eat and sleep and live. And so she said, get yourself some therapy. And that was the start of many, you know, 20 years plus of very amazing psychological work.
Amazing, you say now, but it was probably not amazing.
Oh, you're right. It was terrifying and horrible and I hated it. And every week I said I was quitting. Yeah, thanks for reminding me.
Yeah. Sorry. Well, it's important because people are, you know, if they're just have hidden it for such a long time and are looking at your life and saying, I can do this, I can be courageous. Yes, it is a challenging journey, but it is worth it to go through it.
Oh, it's absolutely worth it. And I think now I see ways that I can reach back and help people go through it even more swiftly and skillfully than I did.
And then there's the life of not going through it. And if you had that happen to you and you chose not to go through the therapy and not to do the self-work and to let it continue to eat at you, and there's people like that, and I know you know one.
Oh, yeah. What are
your brother.
Oh, my dear brother. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes, you're right. See, I didn't even think of him.
Yeah. I remember you mentioned to him in the last call, that show that we did. I don't know. I just feel like I talk to you all the time.
You do.
I think I do. And I remember that you had really forgiven him in your life. And exactly, he's kind of out of your consciousness because that's you're done with that. You're no longer beating up, harboring.
True. And let's remember that healing happens in spirals and layers. It's not a ladder.
Good point.
So I think I've been a little mad at him again lately.
Okay.
So I'm just kind of mad. And so that sort of came back around. Like I'm not thinking of him just I would love to revel in the glow of I've moved on and he's not in my consciousness. But I think I just sometimes get mad that he's this brother who's homeless and alcoholic and is so cannot, will not. Our family spent almost, I told you this, I think $500,000 in treatment centers for him.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And yeah. He cannot go there and he cannot in his mind get to that point right now. But I love that you said that you'd love to revel in this, but you're not going to because you're real and you're authentic. And that's why I keep saying you're speaking for so many people. The stages of death, very similar to the stages of grieving, something like this. You go in and out of the bargaining, acceptance.
Yes. Thank you for
anger,
mentioning that. Again,
denial.
It's not linear. You don't go depressed and now you're angry and now you moved out of that. And now this is why when New York publishers started asking me to write, you know, 8 steps to feeling better, I was like, no, I will never write that book.
1, 5, 2, 8, 1, 6. Yeah, that's exactly the way it goes. Right. You could write it like that.
Yeah.
Because it really, it's in and out of these stages and it takes time.
It does.
But it takes work.
It does.
So let's talk about some of the work that you can do and that people can do. And these exercises that are in your book, Glad No Matter What, is the name of the book that we're talking about today. Transforming Loss and Change into Gift and Opportunity. Boy, are people in that place right now.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And that's why I wrote this book. And I have my own experiences, of course, one that we've been talking about. And then my mother's death and my father's death and the death of my beloved cat, who was my fur husband.
Mm-hmm.
And the end of the best love relationship I had experienced so far. And I couldn't believe that that had to end. You know, like, please, why, mm-hmm. You know, and so I wrote about that as well.
Right.
And then, then I wrote about all the things in these 20 plus years that I've learned about how to nourish ourselves, how to provide exquisite self-care, which is what I call, and how to be a self-loving soul who is doing their transformational work. And this is the opportunity we all have. It's not just for people who've been abused.
Right.
It's for anyone with feelings. So if you're listening and you have feelings, this work is for you too.
Yes. And many of us who tend to be in this movement of human potential, we tend to be very sensitive beings. And we look at situations that occurred either in our childhood or something our parents said or did, and it gets really magnified in our minds because of a level of sensitivity. And I'm speaking for myself that I have, and that many of my listeners have reflected back to me that they have. And it's just, I could take the simplest thing and twist it in 15 different ways.
At least.
Oh, it is annoying sometimes.
Yeah. Have you heard the quote by Robert Evans? I love it so much. And it's in the book. There are three sides to every story. Your side, my side, and the truth. None are correct. Each serves each differently.
That's a great point. Yes. And you can rethink it and rethink it and rethink it so many times. And I so admire those people that can come out with that one sentence that levels it all and they move on. And I look at that and go, how do you do that?
Who are they, Lisa? Really? Let's go get them because really, I assure you that's not what happens.
Maybe you're right.
I assure you there's double guess. There's second guessing. There's ruminating later. There's residual feelings. I mean, nobody escapes. And that's good.
And that's true. It's real. That's absolutely real.
Yeah.
So journaling has really helped you in your process here.
Yeah.
I was talking to my mom about this the other day. She was just starting to write a little bit, which is great, at almost 70. Love it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's very kinesthetic. You know, most of us live with a lot of things swirling around in our heads. Most of us live with untended inner children. Most of us live with untended inner critics. And so we're hearing a negative dialogue inside our heads. No matter how accomplished we are, no matter how much money we have, no matter how healthy we are, we're not exempt from that. And writing is a way to dialogue. And I talk about this in the book. There's a process called three-part harmony where you're shown how to take negative feelings and transform them, which does not mean not feeling them. You know, we're meant to feel what we feel down to our toes, but then we're meant to move on. And many people, number one, don't know how they feel. And number two, don't know how to move on.
Give me an example of that.
Yes. Well, first of all, with the feelings, most people were not taught how to hold or have multiple feelings. So, for instance, in my life, growing up, you were allowed to have one feeling at a time, and you had to go to your room to have it.
Wow.
Yeah. And then you had to come out feeling better, even if you didn't. So you learned to lie about your feelings very early. So this is really common. Mm-hmm. And so people, if they do know, if they latch on, most people think of a feeling, I'm feeling angry, and then they latch on there. And that's all they know. And they don't realize that they also feel sad. They also feel wistful. And they also feel hopeless. They also feel some shades of despair. You know, like there's nuances. There's so many feelings that are in, we don't just feel. Sometimes we do just feel purely angry, but it's not as common.
I got to ask you about this because I've heard so many different opinions on this. My daughter, 8 years old, goes to these girls in the playground who seem to own this certain section of the sandbox. And we've all have known those girls. And they, she says, can I play? And they say no. Or you can, but you can pick up the poop. You know, they're going after it. So. She comes home and is expressing all these different emotions around this. You know, she says she feels like she's at the bottom. She feels that she is not liked, you know, those types of feelings. And I get, you know, for between saying, okay, well, these are some words you can use, but I also want to honor those feelings of her, what she's saying to me, that quote, I feel at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
I get that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I get that she's, you know, hurt. And I get that those words are not in her emotional vocabulary. I get that. And I want to honor that, but I don't want to. And then I remember speaking to Byron Katie, who
yes.
is the queen
yes,
of.
Yes, yes. I know her well.
You know, her work's amazing, the work. And she said to me, how dare you allow her to revel in that feeling? You're validating the fact that she is that way. You need to say yes and move on. And
okay, but
help me out here.
Well, yeah.
And this is for every person who's ever been invalidated in a playground. Doesn't matter what age you are.
Right. And I agree certainly with part of what Byron is saying, but I think it might have been a little out of context that there is such a thing as dwelling or reveling And there is a different quality where we just feel it. So in other words, feeling it feels like you feel it, you name it, you have maybe a kinesthetic experience with it, and then guess what? You are able to move on. Some people
get... How long do you feel it for, though?
I think well, and it's a little different with children because they don't always have this, like you say, it's a different emotional vocabulary. I think it honestly can be a lot quicker for children.
They can get off it faster.
Yeah. And we have our stories.
We do.
We have our stories that reinforce it. And, you know, Abraham tells a really good thing about this. They say, go general on the negative, go specific on the positive.
General on the negative, specific on the positive. That's a good point. So it honors it both ways.
It's very interesting because you can get into repeating stories. I'm sure everybody has this experience where you're repeating it and you feel bad again. It's almost as if, like, what is it really serving?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's times, I think it's, I'm doing this with my fingers, like feeling cloth. It's like a fabric. It's a fabric difference. You can start to practice and be aware of when you're dwelling and when you're feeling. And you can do that work and then assist your daughter in being able to know whether she's feeling or dwelling.
Ah.
Does that help?
Right, it does. And actually, that helps a lot for adults, too, because we hold on to these stories for years, decades.
Oh, my God. My mother,
and run them.
My mother was a grudge master, like a master grudge holder. And I learned so well from her. And she, of course, learned it from her mother. But one time, my younger brother, Andrew, and I were with her, and my mother was saying, and then when I was living out in San Diego, she used my toiletries when I was living at a boarding house. And Andrew said, Mom, it was 50 years ago. That woman is dead. Mm. Let go of it. Mm. You know, and he just had this outburst.
Yes.
You know, because I don't know how many times we'd heard the story of the woman that used her toiletries.
Right. We are our stories in so many different ways. And that sometimes is what keeps us anchored down and unable to change.
Yes. And then reinforcing them by telling them over. And there, let's be sure to say, there is a time to tell our stories repetitively until we're sick of them.
Yeah, and that's the other part of all this, is that how many of us were told at the playground that we weren't, quote, good enough, and that's the way that we interpreted, and then we took that on throughout our entire life. I try as hard as I possibly can as a parent to let her know that she is good enough, and one little other 8-year-old will just demolish all of that.
Well, and it may appear that, but what actually is happening, but this is very important. Children are developing their emotional systems as much as they are their immune systems. So I'm sure you've heard that when children get these illnesses, it's because they're strengthening their immune system.
Yes.
The same is occurring with emotions. So she's also, by the way, watching you very carefully to see how you handle your stuck places or your places of repetitive negativity.
She does.
Yeah.
She does.
So you have an opportunity to tell your stories differently and be a living example of someone who's willing to feel and move on.
God, that's such a great example. That is so true. Who am I being in the matter? Absolutely. And who is she being too? My goodness. All right. Well, we have a fun drive going on here at KPFK. I just want to take a second to talk about this. It is our chance, public radio. Awesome platform here in Los Angeles and across the country. This Pacifica radio exists. And we, Sark has been so kind to donate books to the station for fundraising. And we have a couple of different things that you're donating. First of all, there's five. Well, there's the book that she's donated to the station. It's a $95 pledge to KPFK. It's called Glad No Matter What, Transforming Loss and Change into Gift and Opportunity. This is great. This is a wonderful gift to someone who has recently lost a loved one.
Yeah. Because, and can I sign them before I go?
Would you?
Sure.
That would be fabulous. One of a kind. That's beautiful because they're so colorful. Anyway, the book in itself is a transformation because the exercises and the colors and the humor that Sark explains, brings into the book and her story. It's a journey, this book. It encourages exercises of journaling and different ways of looking at things. As you can tell, as I've been interviewing Sark and letting her speak, you know that the messages and the exercises are who she is. So this is great. I just opened it. It's interesting, too. Gifts of Death. I just opened it to that page. It's interesting.
Which, by the way, spells God.
How so?
Gifts of Death.
Oh, goodness. You are so right.
Yeah.
Death is all right. We eventually do it. Yeah. death happens. Look at that.
Yeah, this is my most right brain, left brain blended book I've ever done. So I've fully used both because I'm a very equal balance of both. And I haven't used the more linear part of my brain before in my books. And so I'm really excited that this has the most practical. It was actually almost called Practical Gladness. Let's be sure to tell people.
I love that.
Yeah, because sometimes the title gets misinterpreted. This is not a book about feeling glad when you don't. How annoying. I mean, I'm sure you can understand from listening to me, but it bears repeating because people hear the word glad and they think, oh my God, some annoyingly positive person who's just telling me to feel better. That is not what I'm doing. And not what this book does.
No. I just keep emphasizing your journey and how real you are in, especially in your work. So there are 10 books here and, Sarah can autograph these, which is going to be awesome right here in studio. So you're going to want to get these right away. 818-985-5735. Once those 10 are gone, they're gone. So I absolutely appreciate you donating these books to the station. The number again, 818-985-5735 is the phone number to call to donate to this wonderful, incredible model that you always rely on when you go to 90.7 on your dial or 98.7 or wherever you go on your dial and you hear this wonderful KPFK sound of news and music and health and spirituality. This is a wonderful oasis on the radio dial. And also, there's a very cool experience where there's five people out there. If you donate at $150 level, there are five people that will be able to enjoy your transformational experience. Now, this is a 30-day course with you, yes?
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about this.
This is an $89 30-day self-paced full of audio visual support for transforming what hurts into what helps.
And it's a $150 pledge to the station, but tell me what they do for the 30 days and how they're involved with you directly.
They're involved through the email. So they have audios by me. There's audio, there's video, there's a book that they'll get, there's daily lessons, but they can do it spread out over a year. I mean, there's no, It's yours to keep forever. So it's not like 30 days and then you're out. You know.
Oh,
it's
great.
It's an actual program that's yours to keep and listen to over and over. It's fantastic.
Great. So you have to give the volunteers in the phone room the correct email address and to the volunteers in there so that this is the way for you to be able to access this premium. So here's the number, 818-985-KPFK. There are only five of these transformational experiences that we have available today. It is a 30-day online course with Sark, and it is a multimedia journey, as Sark just explained. It's audio, video, book, a daily journal, so that you can get through and with a friend, with a partner that has so many years of experience and life experience in helping people go through different types of journeys in their lives of, you know, through that transition of grief. That's one of the things that time takes. It just takes time to heal when you've lost a loved
one. Oh my goodness. Grief is not something to get over. Grief is something to get into and then weave it into the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. You will forever be different from the grieving that you do. But if you do it consciously and with love and skill, it will become the most one of the most wonderful parts of you that you could ever imagine.
I have a friend who is just a wonderful lady, one of my daughter's old teachers, and she adored her husband. Just they were one of the couples that, you know, 50 years into marriage, you want to be. You know, just did everything for him. Still, every night made dinner for him, and he suddenly passed. And it is so hard because I was thinking about her the other day, just thinking, goodness gracious, you look into a long life with somebody, and they suddenly just up and go. And how do you do the day-to-day stuff? The Sunday afternoon.
Yeah. You cry a lot. Mm-hmm. And you take years to weave that in. And you reach out and let people know specific ways that they can help you. And that's why I wrote a section in the book, what to say to a grieving person, how to help a grieving person.
What not to say.
You know, because I experienced all of it.
When your parents.
Well, yeah. And people unknowingly say these ridiculous things. One of them is, how old was she? You know, who cares? I mean, I understand what they're trying to do, but it's just not, I don't care if she was 80. Right. I wanted her to live to 180.
Yeah, it didn't matter. And that's also, as a person who's going through that experience, you have the opportunity to journal and have a friend through it,
yes.
Which is so important.
Yes, and I'm so excited about technology now supporting. I've been waiting for technology to catch up with me all my life. And so I'm so excited. I have a course that I offer separately called Dream Boogie, which is a way for people to make their creative dreams real and also live a great life at the same time, a self-loving and self-caring life. And we have a new session starting on that in May. But if you go to planetsarc.com, you can be on the free list that tells you about all these things.
Yes, you have great stuff that comes through that as well, planetsarc.com. All right, so we have five of those memberships to give away today. I've already seen about three of them go, so you want to jump on that phone line right now, 818-985-KPFK. Your $150 donation supports this wonderful listener-sponsored radio station. No commercials ever. Just these fun drives every once in a while so we can come to you and say, hey, can you please support us? This is the $150 level, 818-985-KPFK. And there are five of these memberships to give away at this point. And so, once again, it's Having Stark, who has been so incredibly transformational for so many people. How long have you been writing, Stark? 30
years? I've been writing since I was 10.
Wow. So that's right. The story of your first book.
Yes. And then I've been publishing for 20 years.
20 years published. Interesting. If you can tell that story really quickly of when your first book came out. This was a great story.
Oh, which story?
When you were 10.
Oh, when I was 10. Oh, I didn't publish that book.
No, you wrote it though. And somebody found it, right?
No, which are you thinking?
I'm talking about the what you wrote at 10 years old.
Okay, well, this was a book I wrote called Mice from Mars, and it was a thinly disguised abuse story about a mouse that comes from Mars and then is on Earth not being able to be safe. And I'm always happy to say that the art in it is not very different from the art I do now. Mm. But I wonder what you're thinking of, because you have a puzzled look.
Yeah, I do. I'm trying to recall that somebody saw that story and published it in a... Did they publish it somewhere?
I think you invented this.
I might have.
You dreamed it.
Maybe I did. But you had a mentor at a very early age.
I had so many mentors. Yeah. I had a grandfather that said, do everything you can think of doing so you know what you don't want to do the rest of your life. And I had 250 jobs from the ages of 14 to 26.
Wow.
And since I was already an overachiever, I took it very seriously. And I had a little notebook. And if the job lasted more than 4 hours, I wrote it down. And I was fired from most of the jobs and I quit most of the other ones. And I learned a lot about humility and service and a lot of things that I didn't want to do.
You ruled a lot of it out, didn't you?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My goodness. No, I was thinking of the gentleman who was in the hospital.
Oh, yes. Mr. Boggs. Yes. What a wonderful mentor he was. He was a safe place to go after school. He became my best friend, actually, when I was 10, and he was 80. And he, for example, wanted to teach me to look close and far, so he bought me a microscope and a telescope. And then he got really sick, and he went in the hospital, and my mom said, Mr. Boggs is probably not coming back. And I said, well, then I need to write him something every day he's in there. And I did. And I think he was in there at least a month. And he got out and he said, I think you saved my life. He said, no one else called or wrote while I was in there. And he said, and I had to get out to see you.
Aww.
And I immediately ran in the house and said, Mom, I'm supposed to be a beacon of hope that writes books for the world. And then she said, eat your peanut butter sandwich. But I wrote my first book that summer.
Yes.
That was the Mice from Mars book. And then I was not published until I was 35. With my first book, A Creative Companion.
Now, there's a lot coming up for you. I understand that there's a television show in the works now.
There is a Sark television show, Transformation TV with Sark.
Oh, I love that.
I know. It sounds good. I just made that up.
Use of words. I'm writing that one down. Okay. Along with Practical Gladness.
Yeah, I'm down here actually in L.A. filming the promo for it. We have a great team of people, and we'll actually be at the Bodie Tree tonight in West Hollywood at 7:30. So
exciting.
Come on by. We're going to be rocking the house. I've got all kinds of surprises planned, and I'm really excited.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah, and my goddaughter is here, and she's in the studio with us, as you know, and she'll be there. And a wonderful man named Edward Vilga and his dog Belle. I could just go on and on. The people
are coming.
Yes.
Oh, great!
So many great people are coming, and
Now, what do you – okay, so first of all, Bodhi Tree tonight, 7:30. See, you can see Sark live and also get a copy of the book there. Now, tell me a little bit about why you think or what has happened in your life now that has enabled you to get to this place with the television show and different – what's transformed in you?
Great question, Lisa. It's basically allowing it. You know, I've always known – I've envisioned a television show for 20 years. You know, people have said to me, did you ever, you know, when I did 200 products with my artwork that went around the world, people said, did you ever imagine this? And I said, yeah, I imagined a lot more and I don't know why it's taken so long.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So it's kind of like, I stopped resisting it. It's like, why wouldn't I do this? It feels very natural. And I used to have all these perfectionist reasons I couldn't do things or fears. I mean, I was just driving on LA freeways, followed by my wonderful goddaughter in her car. And this used to, it sounds ridiculous, but it used to terrify me to drive on those kind of roads and big trucks and, you know, quick turns and,
yes, sudden, you know, stops. Yes.
Yeah. And I just feel like, I'm willing to do things badly now. I'm willing to not be the best. It's such a relief. I'm finding out that you can dial down that overachiever dial and no one will even notice. Yeah, I thought there'd be a newspaper article that immediately came out, you know, Sark drives badly or Sark arrives late. Sark didn't wash her shirt.
Sark is not the perfectionist that she thought she was.
and nobody even cared. You know,
so something in you transformed that has allowed all of the perfections and imperfections to exist in the same place.
Yes, because I'm so happy to say I am so in love with myself. I am so in love with myself that is a constant now. That is a foundational piece. And let's be sure to say, and I there'll be a day we don't have to say this, but self-love is not about being selfish or self-absorbed or narcissistic. It is the purest form of love. It's you loving you so you can love the world more. And there are self-love practices that I describe in my book, including self-hugging, which I recommend everyone do. We're all in a long-term relationship with ourselves. And we have an opportunity to live, as I do now, as to live like a full cup of self-love, sharing the overflow, and not like a half-empty cup trying to get filled.
You know, when you look at your life through those types of lenses, everything around you looks horrible when you're in that depressed state in your face and in your life. You can't see relationships or anything around you with anything other than clouded lenses. So if you take those lenses off and take a look at the world in a different place, it'll start showing up for you in a different way. I think we all right now, no matter how serious we think we are, need to wrap our arms around ourselves and just do a little self-love. Can we do that?
Yeah.
Can we do a little self-love?
Yeah, and then kiss your shoulder.
If you're driving, wait till you pull over. But I don't care how silly you think you feel. Nobody's looking. Just do it.
Oh, my God. Lisa, when I first started talking, I could barely hug myself in front of people. I felt shy to even talk about it. And now some years later, I'm rolling around in bed 5-10 minutes most mornings, you know, in terms of endearment. Oh, honey, bunny, buttercup,
sweetheart. No one else is there?
Well, in some cases, yeah. In most cases, no one's there. But, you know, you never know. I'm ready.
Me.
I'm available for love, by the
you
way.
You said this.
With another.
There
and,
you go.
And I did say this on the last show. I said, you asked, what would the universe bring you? I said, bring me a naked man to serve me chocolate cake.
Okay.
And I got this fantastic call from a man on my inspiration phone line, which, by the way, is a free service I've done for 17 years.
Oh, yes.
Let's give people the number. It's 415-546-3742. Once again, 415-546-3742.
Epic.
Yeah. And a wonderful French surrealist poet man called me. And I forgot that I said that to you because I had done 100 interviews, you know, so yeah. I really had forgotten that comment. And he said, I've written an epigram for you. I am not a chocolate cake, but I am a man and I can be naked. And
okay.
We started a wonderful series of letters and phone calls. And he's a wonderful poet, man, person. And circumstances aren't right. He lives in an area that I'm not willing to travel to, but we are continuing our friendship.
Wow. See, you get what you ask for. It helps if you ask for it, you know, in front of 20,000 people. You're Odds are good there, Sark. I'd be proud
okay,
of yourself.
Okay, so now, yeah. So what am I asking for now? You need to ask me.
Yeah, what are you asking
I'm for? Asking for an adventure playmate, and it is a man. My last relationship was with a woman, but I'm ready for a man now to join me in life's adventures.
All right.
So call me up.
There you go.
I'm very attractive.
And I'm asking you to go to the phones. 818-985-KPFK is the phone number to call. 818-985-5735. Give us a call here and we will be, there is five books. No, there's 10 books, which probably some of them have gone by at this point. And, the donation for the books is $95. You will get a personalized autographed book from Sark, who is with me here live and in studio. And there are also two of the transformational experiences left on for Sark's transformative experience. It's a multimedia journey of healing and transformation for it's an online program. It's a 30-day online course, although you can take a year to do it if you want. It's a series of audios and videos and books and daily lessons. So make sure to give the volunteers in the phone room your correct email address so that this is a way for you to get the access code to be able to get the package. So that's a $150 donation to the station. There are only five. 818-985-KPFK. I'm not sure how many are left, but we will find that out. So jump on that now, because by the end of this, in the next 20 minutes, those will be gone. And they will be taken by five of you wonderful people. 818-985-5735. 818-985-KPFK is the phone number to call. And the book, Glad No Matter What, is a really beautiful book. It is a colorful journey, is really what the expression of the book is. And it's what to do when you're going through anything that is loss or change, or if you know somebody who is going through loss or change or any type of transformation in their life, really. Because even when you lose a job or you lose a relationship or you've lost a loved one or, God forbid, a child, these things take time and they take work.
And they take mentoring. You know, we're all able to be mentors for each other, and we can learn how to be what I call transformational change agents. And that's what I describe the practices and processes in this book, so that we really are empowered. We're going to be listening to our wise selves, which I describe the process in the book, and how to activate and empower that wise self, how to feel what we feel and move on, how to tell and live new stories. And then all kinds of fabulous things to do, like my miracle walks. And I describe what miracle walks are and what they will give to you and how anyone can do them. And I'll just say right now, just go out of your house or wherever you are, put your hands out, palms up, and start walking and say, miracle, find me now. Miracles love to be asked, and they will appear in ways that you couldn't imagine. Then tune your vision to see the miracles. People walk right past miracles all the time, and they're not looking. And it might be in the form of a screaming man or a barking dog or a ripped piece of clothing. It might look different than what you think. But if you are looking for a miracle, I mean, I have thousands of miracle stories. I could sit and do a whole show on the miracle walk stories. And I found my magic cottage in San Francisco through a miracle walk.
How did you do that?
I went and I said, miracle, find me now. And then I found a little sign on a store that said Magic Cottage for a very special person. And then it said $500. And I had $1 to my name at the time. I had lived outside the money system by choice for 10 years. Uh-huh. So I had lived only on barter and trade. And I saw that and I thought, that's my house. You know, it's a little tiny, and it said very small. And I thought, if it fits a bed, that's all I need. And I called the very next day. Well, first I went down a cobblestone lane and I peered into a little knothole in the fence and I saw Australian ferns and I saw this cottage and I said, oh, I will write my books there and I will live there and it will be my happiest home of my life. And I knew it. And then that was my wise self talking to me. And then I called, and the realtor said, oh, that's been rented. I've had 100 calls. And I said, well, who did you rent it to? She said, well, I haven't rented it yet, but all the people are coming tomorrow. And I said, well, you're going to rent it to me. And she did. And she claims I hypnotized her and I don't recommend anyone do this, but I wrote a false check. And I wrote a check for the first, last, and deposit. And then I had 3 days to cover it. And I sold everything I owned in order to cover that check by Monday morning when the bank opened. And then she found out about that in the book because I told that story in a book.
Oh, how funny. Well, of course, because she helped you in yes. some way.
And there was a wonderful moment where she said, it's very strange because this has always been used as an art studio and every woman that's ever lived here has been named Susan. And so it's too bad that you're not. And I said, the S in Sark stands for Susan.
Oh, how interesting.
Yeah.
So it was yours. It had your name all over it.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
Very interesting. That's a great idea. So you look, you ask, what was the word again? Miracle?
Miracle Find Me Now. And then a variation on that theme is Miraculous Person Find Me Now. So I was just in Australia last month and I was in need of a friend. Well, first, I'll tell this. I was in Australia and I was crabby and it was humid and I was homesick and I thought I want to go home. And then I remembered miracles and I said, miracle, find me now. And I walked a few feet and I looked up to see a giant banner of the poet Khalil Gibran, who wrote The Prophet. And I love him. And I said, Khalil, you're my miracle. And I followed the banner up to the second floor of the public library where there was a free exhibit of his journals and art. And I walked around sobbing in the air conditioning, low lighting, beautiful Middle Eastern music playing, and got to stand inches away from his pencil drawings and sketches. And they were so moving, I was sobbing.
Wow.
And that was my miracle. And then I decided to say, miraculous person, find me now. And I went down to the bookstore and waited for my miraculous person. And here's a small woman at my elbow saying, wasn't that exhibit luminous? And then she said, would you like to be my friend and walk through the botanical gardens and I'll show you magical things? And that's the beginning of a whole nother story.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. I have a million. I mean, I'm not kidding. You start asking for miracles. You're going to see them. You're going to find them. You're going to experience them. And then come to my planetsark.com and tell me about them, or come to my inspiration line, call me and tell me about them.
So do you hear people all the time saying that they've created miracles in their lives?
Oh, yeah. And someone just wove me a miracle catcher net. They knitted it out of colorful fabric like a butterfly net. And they sent it to me. It's got a long pole. And they said, take this on one of your miracle walks and catch more miracles.
Oh, that's so cute. Isn't it? I love that idea.
I know.
A miracle catcher rather than a dream catcher.
I know.
That's great. You do live in a world of possibilities. I love that. You know, it's so refreshing to hear from people like you, especially giving this information out on a national platform, because you can offer inspiration to people that just will not see it in their current reality.
Well, yeah, but and they need to understand how close it is. You know, someone listening might, you know, I call it living juicy. So the opposite, of course, is dry and cracked. So most people that are living dry and cracked are missing, they have what I call adventure amnesia. So they just know that something's missing, but they don't know what it is. Guess what it is? It's adventure. So I actually created another program called Sark's Awesome Anytime Adventure, and that's another 30-day self-paced thing that's audio, visual, amazing, multimedia, and it's so that people can have adventures at no charge at home in the most amazing ways. Because that's how we're meant to live.
Absolutely. And I think right now we need a KPFK miracle. I think during this hour we wanted to meet a particular goal. We've been talking so much. You and I have been chatting so much. It's been great. And I have to ask people to donate to the station. So 818-985-KPFK. Let's just get
And I want to just add to that. We don't have to. We want to, and we magnetize you to call this station now and to support it. And in fact, I, Sark, am hypnotizing you in the most wonderful way. So allow yourself to be drawn to the phone now as if by magic and dial the numbers. What are they?
818-985-KPFK. It's so fun to be here with you. And it's so great to look into your eyes and to play with you in this level. This is so great. And I encourage anybody who right now who is listening, who might be in that place of thinking, oh, this is Pollyanna thinking. There's just no way I can get there in my life. Or know somebody like that, most of us know somebody like that, and you want to inspire them, pick up the phone, give us a call, 818-985-KPFK, and get Sark's book, because it is a window into the world of possibilities and miracles. And it really is such an aesthetic book. It's just beautiful. It really is a window. 818-985-KPFK. We had 10 books to give away. Also, you can ask the volunteers in the phone room if you can split the payments over a 12-month period. The $150 donation is $12.50 a month. You just ask the volunteers in the phone room if you could spread the payments over a month, over a year, and it'll be easy. $12.50 a month. Yeah, no interest. Super easy. And you get the access codes right away. You basically will be able to experience everything that you need to. So don't let money be a stop for you. If you can afford $12.50 a month, then we would absolutely. We only had five of those. 818-985-KPFK is the phone number to call. And that's a $12.50 a month pledge donation to this wonderful station during this beautiful time of the fun drive here at KPFK. So I am asking for any miracle donor out there right now that's listening to donate to the station, 818-985-KPFK. In turn, you can get the books that you can give away to people. You can have your own transformational experience or give that to somebody who, you know, when somebody is grieving and you don't know what to do for them, and flowers and food is not going to help, and they almost really just want to be left alone. This is a way to say, here, take this as a private friend for you, and you can journal in any way that you want. You can read, you can cry, you can listen, you can go through something to do, daily lessons, but here's just a small gift. And I think this is a wonderful way to help somebody through any type of transition in life, especially if it's a loss of a job or a loved one or anything, you know, even when you lose a friend, you know, there's a lot of different forms of loss. So 818-985-KPFK. I love this picture in the front of the book, by the way.
Isn't that great? Yeah, it's in a labyrinth on the edge of the ocean in near San Francisco.
In a place like that, it really exists. It's not Photoshopped, right?
No, it's not Photoshopped at all. Awesome. And my publisher, I want to say New World Library, fantastic publisher. And
yes.
I want to give my shout out to them.
Me too.
Yeah.
And to say hi to them. We hung out with them on the cruise a little bit.
Aren't they great?
Kim, who's from
Isn't
New World,
Kim?
She's great.
I know.
She is wonderful. And I remember her sitting by the pool. We had a good chat.
Yeah. She's amazing. She's a publicist. And there's so many
time.
Good people there. But that was a 3-minute book cover meeting. I called and I said, are you guys up for a 3-minute meeting? Because I've decided all meetings are too long. And so I set a timer and I said, here's my vision. I'm wearing a sparkly purple cape. I'm standing in the center of a labyrinth that's at the end of the ocean. My arms are up in the air, glad no matter what is written in the ocean behind me. They said, we love it. What can we do? Let's talk about photographers. And they named two names. I said, no, both people are crabby. They're going to be annoyed by the wind and therefore annoy me. I said, what else can we do? And the wonderful editor, Jason Gardner, said, I'm pretty good with a camera. Why don't you let me take the picture?
Oh, my gosh.
So he took
great.
That picture.
Really?
Yeah. And we, bang, finished the meeting.
That's the way to make things happen. That's a great way to make. I'm transforming all our meetings, okay? No more four-hour conference calls.
Bang.
Done with those. All right. 818-985-KPFK. See, the phone lines are coming. They're lighting up. The people are giving us a call.
Oh, good. And miraculous people. Find us now.
Yes. And this is a wonderful gift for you all, by the way. Not only is the gift of supporting KPFK a wonderful one we are most, most grateful for, and this is something that comes back and gives to you because it's a book that gives you inspiration and hope and practical exercises and the ability to be able to have sadness and have gladness in the same space.
Yes, practical gladness. It's about living in what I call the marvelous messy middle with all of your feelings and be able to hold them and skillfully with great love.
Yes.
We are all human geniuses, by the way.
And if, by the way, if you're in that position to have money coming to you, and if you're in a good financial position in your life, this is a wonderful way to give back as well, because you're supporting public radio. This is a tax-deductible donation, and it's a wonderful way of saying to the universe, thank you, I am grateful. And it's a reciprocal universe we live in. There is a wonderful law of giving and receiving that's constantly in place in this universe. So jump in that cycle of giving and receiving. Whatever goes out comes back to you in a wonderful
way. I want the L.A. millionaire, and not just a millionaire in money, but at least one L.A. millionaire to call this station. That's what I'm wanting. You know, I'm transforming my experience of L.A., and I want to see it come in for you guys for the station.
Wow.
So I'm asking, who are you? You're out there. Get on the phone. you're in your car, you're in your flash car, I want you to call this station. What are the numbers?
818-985-KPFK. And as I know from experience, it's a wonderful way to say thank you for the funds that you do have. When you give a portion of it away or a teeny bit of it away, it's just saying to the universe, I do this in gratitude for what you've given me.
Well, not only that, but if you study the energy of money, you know that it comes right back. It's like water. It's like oxygen.
It's energy.
You know, let's take a breath.
Yes. Comes in.
There
comes
some money. Coming in. It's coming in, baby.
It is. 818-985-KPFK. And also, what you will receive is a wonderful thank you gift from Sark and her incredible team from New World Library. Thank you again, Kim, who has donated 10 of the books, Glad No Matter What. And also, there is that's a $95 pledge. And for a $150 pledge, you can be a part of Sark's Transformation Experience. This is an online multimedia experience which consists of an online course of audios, videos. I want to see the videos.
Oh, yeah. I have the funniest videos. I'm in my house in San Francisco. There's one I made that I love them all, but there's this one where I'm saying, would you like some tea? And then I pour tea and I talk about the teapot and then I say, here, take it. Why aren't you taking it? And then I had used, because I happened to paint with ink, and I had used some of my purple ink to put in the teapot because I thought it would be neat to have purple tea. And then it was spilling on my white cheese lounge.
Oh.
And nobody knew that, but I was like, oh my.
Oh,
you know,
oh,
but
no.
Again, it's like, you know, it doesn't matter. And but I love videos, and that's why I'm going to love doing this Sark TV. It's going to be really great.
Well, I appreciate, as whimsical and as energetic as you are, I also appreciate that you stand for women could be very stuck and could take a position in their life that would disable them if they are victims of abuse or emotional abuse or anything, and men that might have had that experience. And you stand for those women to be able to be back in that place of joy.
Well, yeah, and not even back, because that implies they left it, to fully embody it. Mm. Let's put it that way.
To fully, which you do.
I do. I do.
You do.
And so do you.
Well, I think so. Yeah.
It
takes one to know one, right?
Yeah.
I know. We smile when we're here together. It's a good energy. I really love that you're here. I think I've said that, I think about 15 times. All right. 818-985-KPFK is the phone number to call. 818-985-5735. Bring joy into your life. And to experience that is just, it's wholeness. So I invite you all to experience that type of joy, no matter what you do. So, that's actually the name of the book, Glad No Matter What. 818-985-KPFK. And also you can be a part of Sark's wonderful transformational experience, which is so uplifting. And to have a friend or a mentor take you through your journey is so great, because it's very, I mean, it's possible to get stuck and you don't want to go there. You want to get something that moves you, that dives you into your train out of depression and that way out of pain. Even though it exists and it's there, there's alternatives as well. 818-985-KPFK. The phone lines are ringing here. Thank you so much for all of your energy.
I love it. I could come every day.
I love it too. I love that we're talking. And sometime we'll get a chance also to take callers and
I would
when you're
love
back
that.
On so that you can coach people, because I know that you.
Yeah, and you know I call it couching.
Couching.
Yeah. I never liked, you know, I felt like, okay, coach is getting too used. This is my own unique blend of therapy, mentoring, and coaching, and it's called couching. And also because people make changes really fast when they are relaxed. So I know that if people are lying on a couch or sitting on a couch, they're going to move much faster. And by the way, let's tell everyone, let's shrink everything down. Like, yes, we need to feel all the challenging feelings, but we can spend way less time there. And I'm a transformational change agent and an uplifter, and I'm a laser beam of love, and I'm here to show people how to do that.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you so
much.
Perfect
way to end the show. Couldn't have been better. I love it. All right. Keep those phone lines ringing. Thank you so much for calling in. A flurry of phone calls that are coming in right now. This is awesome. Love that miracle space. It is in practice right now, right here. Carry that on with you throughout your day. Until tomorrow, I invite you to stay aware.